98 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. Legendary actor Gene Hackman is dead. Authorities conducted a welfare check Wednesday at the Santa Fe area home that Hackman shared with his wife, Betsy Arakawa.
Early this morning, Santa Fe County Sheriff Adan Mendoza confirmed that the 95-year-old Hackman, his 64-year-old wife, and their dog were all found dead in their home. Despite that, Mendoza says no foul play is suspected.
You brought him on my boat. Our man is down behind enemy lines.
In an acting career that spanned four decades, Gene Hackman won a trophy case filled with awards, including two Oscars. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Those were Best Actor honors 20 years apart for The French Connection and Unforgiven, accepting the Cecil B. DeMille Award in 2003. Hackman described his career.
It's a make-believe world, and as I say, it's what I wanted to do as a child, and I fulfilled a lot of my dreams.
This is ABC News. Another twist in the Menendez brothers saga. A week after one door appeared to close on their efforts to get out of prison, a new door appears to have opened wider.
Governor Gavin Newsom is ordering the California Parole Board to launch what's called a comprehensive risk assessment as part of the process to decide on clemency for the brothers. The governor on his podcast, This is Gavin Newsom, said the investigation will look at...
Do they pose a current, what we call, unreasonable risk to public safety?
But he warns it does not mean he will decide to release them. He's been waiting while the courts weigh in. Even if Newsom decides to release the brothers, it could take months. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Controversial influencers Andrew and Tristan Tate have left Romania and are headed to the U.S. The two were charged with human trafficking and indicted last year in Romania. The brothers deny all allegations. It's not clear what conditions they're under that allows them to travel to the U.S. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Donald Trump is out of control, stopping payments for health care and food for hungry kids, eliminating the Department of Education, and letting unelected billionaire Elon Musk fire anyone he wants and get access to your most private information. We need a Supreme Court justice who will keep them in check before they go too far. That's Judge Susan Crawford.
I'm Judge Susan Crawford. As a former prosecutor and now as a judge, I believe in protecting you, your family, and your right to privacy, and that women have the right to make their own decisions about their health care. Because to me, that's just common sense.
Donald Trump and Elon Musk are both backing Brad Schimmel. He'll do whatever they want. That's why we need Judge Susan Crawford. The common sense judge will keep them in check. Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Paid for by Susan Crawford for Wisconsin. Crawford for WI.com.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
The Packers willing to trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where it's been reported the Packers are taking offers to trade away defensive back Jair Alexander. He was a first-round pick for the Pack in 2018. Green Bay has not drafted a receiver in the first round in over 20 years. Why not? GM Brian Gutekunst.
You know, it's funny. It's never been like a philosophical thing we've talked about through my time in Green Bay. It's never been something, hey, like we don't want to take wide receivers in the first round. There are certainly opportunities we've had. We thought that was going to happen, and for whatever reason, it didn't. But at the same time, we've had a lot of second-round receivers that have been pretty good players for us.
NBA, the Bucks face the Denver Nuggets tonight at Fiserv Forum. Brooke Lopez on defending Denver center Nikola Jokic.
You know, I'll be on the point of the attack a bit, doing my job, just try to be physical with him, make things as difficult as possible as you can for him, and trusting I got my teammates behind me.
That's the Bucks' Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're headed to the theater this weekend, here's what you have to look forward to. Last Breath is a mystery thriller starring Woody Harrelson, where he and his crew of deep-sea divers are forced to brave the dark, deep waters to save a fellow crew member. The film is based on a true story, but has no reviews in yet, so proceed with caution. My Dead Friend Zoe also opens in wide release. The dark comedy drama tells the story of an Afghanistan army vet who has an odd relationship with her deceased best friend. The cast includes Sonequa Martin-Green, Ed Harris and Morgan Freeman, and with almost 40 reviews, it's pulling in 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. I have to say, I'm intrigued. No Address also opens this weekend and follows a group of people dealing with homelessness. There are no reviews yet, but the film stars Beverly D'Angelo, William Baldwin, and Lucas Zuman. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and breezy this morning. We'll have some clearing and the wind will die down this afternoon. Our high today, low 40s. Tonight, down to 30. Tomorrow, a little light rain or snow shower possible, but the big deal will be the wind. Cloudy, windy, falling temperatures will drop into the mid-30s by late afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Key and Peele writer Rich Tallarico, who wrote the iconic substitute teacher sketch. Rich will also make the popcorn pick of the week. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
And good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, February 27th, 2025. In this time slot, you would normally hear Mr. Pat Kreitlow and Up North News Radio. But instead, it is Civic Media This Morning, Todd Alball and Greg Bach, and maybe Matt Naranair if you're watching on the stream this morning. Mr. Bach, how are you this morning?
I'm doing quite peachily keen. It's a Thursday morning.
Right.
It's a little damp outside, but hey.
It is a little damp.
Yeah.
I mean, now are you, I'm not sure if we've talked about this, you and I, before, but by the way, Kreitlow is supposed to be, last I heard, on a quote-unquote work retreat. And then he outs himself on his Facebook yesterday,
And
he's actually at Brewers spring training in Arizona. I'm not sure how that works, but God love him. God bless him. He can work that out.
I will be fine with all this if I get a nice souvenir, but until that happens... Oh, I just responded with, I knew it!
He's back tomorrow, assuming that the flights are on time?
Right, yeah. He should. Yeah. All said, he should be here tomorrow morning at 6:06 a.m. to return to the fabulous Up North News Radio with one Patrick Kreitlow.
Why do I feel that I should keep my setup here at the memorial desk at the Civic Media headquarters? Just because I feel like the flight's not going to make it. It's going to be like, well, Todd, can you fill in? And of course I will. I'll be here if need be. I'm nothing if not standby ready, as they say. but no, Pat will be back tomorrow. But Greg, have you and I talked about this before? I'm not sure. Are you more of a sunny and 20 degree person or rain in 38?
Sunny. I would say sunny. I don't mind rain, but when it gets cold, that's when the rain gets cold and it hits your body to what you're like,
because you said it was kind of damp out this morning, and it is much of Wisconsin, and we're seeing a little bit of fog here and there, and this time of year, this spring especially. And also, you know, into the fall. I'd just rather have it be below zero or below freezing and have snow or indoor sun than the damp. And I must be getting older because my grandparents used to say this, it goes right through you. It goes right through you. And it's true. It goes right down to the bone when it gets damp like this.
Yeah. I get damp and it's wet and whatnot. But, man, I'll take that over 1 degree where you're like your whole body is cold, inside and out is cold. Your clothes are cold and touching your cold body, and you're like, why do we do this?
We'll have a Brittany Merlot in hour number two for a complete weather forecast. It looks like it's going to be fairly nice. Temperatures once again in the upper 40s, perhaps below 50s around Wisconsin. Brittany will be in and give us the complete weather forecast details. Let's take a look right now at temperatures around the state. Not bad at all. We start from north to south. The Great Gitchagumi, Lake Superior, and the city of Superior, 37 degrees right now. Over Ashland Bayfield, 36. Going down over to Amory this morning, 34 degrees in beautiful Amory. In Eau Claire this morning, looks like 37 degrees and mostly cloudy in Eau Claire. Wausau this morning, 36 degrees and clouds as well. 36 over in Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. La Crosse sitting at 37. Richland Center at 34 degrees. Our friends down there in Wisconsin Rapids, more coffee, Greg. 36 degrees in Wisconsin Rapids at WFHR this morning. Wausau, we said that. Oshkosh at 34 degrees, WISS. Here in Madison, 36 degrees in the capital city. And Greg Bach, how does he do it? He just heats it up. 37 degrees is what Racine, Kenosha, and Milwaukee all sitting at 37, very even. So looks like an on-time start to most of the school days this morning and out at work as well. As we have arrived, as we said, at Thursday, the 27th of February. Greg Bach, I'm very excited, well, for just to be with you and hang out and all of our listening audience as well. But in hour number two, when Brittany comes on, we are going to have a cooking segment here on the show this morning. And I'm looking forward to this. A nervous anticipation has to do with one of our days. Pat always goes through national days of the year. One of the great days this year involves food. And I thought, well, why not do a little cooking segment? Great potential for disaster. So we'll see how that goes. And also, we have a great interview with the superintendent of public schools up in Eau Claire. That is Mike Johnson, along with our friend Trigvi Olson, the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. It is Public Schools Week here and across Wisconsin and the nation. And I know Pat and Up North News Radio has a great relationship with Wisconsin Public Education Network, has a lot of guests on like that. So we thought it'd be good to catch up with Mike Johnson, one of those guys who truly is up north. He hails from the River Falls area. And as we said, now the superintendent at the public schools in Eau Claire. So all that is coming up. Take a check of news headlines as well. Brittany Merlot, as we said, in with weather. Going to have some This Day in History a little bit later this hour. Check out Michael Jackson is involved in this day's Day in History, ooh, musically. So I'll get out my white glove and get set to go. And yeah, if you're watching the stream, I got a new TV because the one I took on the road all the time, long story short, it broke. So I had to get a new TV here last week. And this is really the first time I've used it. And I can't figure out how to put the Civic Media logo behind me. So we have the Matt and Air logo just popping up here, yep. Which is fine because, Greg, you're part of Matt and Air on Air. You every day from 10 until noon, you precede our show at noon. So we'll just throughout the day until Todd can figure it out, we'll plug Matt and Air on Air.
I have no problem with that. 10 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday on Civic Media Radio Network.
Now, last night, Greg, talking to usually Pat this time of the show, always looks at sports scores. Are you a college basketball fan or not so much?
Not at all, but I appreciate their effort. I appreciate the work they put in.
Next segment, Todd. All right. No, so I am, and Wisconsin Badgers doing pretty darn well, but the game last night was in Maryland in the Big Ten as Tom Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans, number 8 in the country, traveled to number 15, I believe, ranked Maryland. And it was a game and a half. The score was tied 55 all. Maryland had the ball with under 20 seconds left. And I'm not sure what the kid's name is, the player. He tried for a three-pointer, in my opinion. I talk to people who know basketball even better than I do. It's agreed. He just, in a situation like that, you want to let the clock run down so you make sure that your team gets the last plausible shot. Well, the kid shot it with, I think around 10 seconds left, and he missed the shot, and it bounced off the rim and into the hands of a Michigan State player who quickly threw a one-handed pass to one of his other teammates who launched a half-court shot at the buzzer, nothing but net.
Oh,
Michigan, Michigan State wins 58-55, literally. I know that word's overused these days, but literally at the buzzer. They had to review it, and it got off of his fingertips, and whatever, a half a second, quarter second later, you know, the buzzer sounded and the red scoreboard went off, but it left his hands before the buzzer, and Michigan State wins 58-55.
Wow, man. So the kid's name was Trey Holloman, the one who took the shot.
Thank you. Thank you.
He took the shot, and they're like, and the other people, their names don't matter.
Right. It's important for Badger fans because that means Michigan State is now alone in the top of the Big Ten. They sit at 14-13 in conference play. Michigan is right below them at 13-3. They still have to play one another again before the end of the season. Wisconsin is now in third place at 12-5, and Maryland and UCLA tied at 11-6. The Badgers traveling to the Breslin Center, Michigan State and East Lansing on Sunday. Huge, huge game for Wisconsin and Michigan State, quite frankly. Right now, Michigan State is forecast to be a number two seed in the NCAA tourney, and Wisconsin forecast at number three. Should Wisconsin pull off the win and the upset there, mild upset in East Lansing, they could flip that, get the two seed. If they keep it close, they probably keep the three. Maybe drop. You just don't want to go to the five seed, Greg, because usually the tournament, a 12 beats a five almost half the time. So,
but the other half of the time they lose, so you never know.
Right. Well, you never know. So Wisconsin has a big game. Here's the piece of paper I was looking for. Wisconsin travels to East Lansing on Sunday. Where is it, Todd? My sheet of paper. Do I have the wrong sheet of paper here? Well, yes. As a matter of fact, my notes, my liners that I have as I hold it up to the camera, ended yesterday, February 26th.
nothing but the hardest-hitting news here on Civic Media Mornings.
If you want the facts from 3 days ago, tune in.
If you want yesterday's news today.
I found it. The Badgers play at Michigan State 12:30 on Sunday. And you can hear it for free, of course, on the Civic Media app. So there you go. Looking forward to that. So that was really the big sports story last night, as the Michigan State pulls off kind of that late win there. Other scores, let me see if I can just pull up some quick other scores here for you. Around the country, from last night, as they say, let's see here. Where's the old scoreboard at? There we go. It was UConn over Georgetown last night, 93-79. That will have an interest. That'll be of interest, I should say, to our friends in the southeast part of the state or around the state. Marquette fans will find that score interesting. Again, UConn 93 and Georgetown 79. Auburn continues to roll, 106-76 over Mississippi. It was Clemson gets a win last night, number 13th ranked Clemson over Notre Dame by a score of 83-68. Memphis, they riced Rice 84-72. And the University of Kentucky, the Wildcats over University of, look at that, Todd. Oklahoma, sorry about that. 83-82, close game there. So, and also it was San Diego State over Butler, 76-74, I believe. So there's some college games for you around the country last night. It is 18 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. Todd will have some more coffee, get a new pair of glasses, and we'll come back with more. And we'll try to fix the TV. It is, I'm just going to tell you, I'm very excited about this. It's National Toast Day. We'll talk more about
clink or crunch.
Ooh, which is it? Come on back. You'll have maybe both. Maybe we'll clink and crunch. It's Civic Media this morning, in for Pat Kreitlow and Up North News Radio. Greg, Todd, come on back at Civic Media. She is mine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up, with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Donald Trump is out of control, stopping payments for healthcare and food for hungry kids, eliminating the Department of Education, and letting unelected billionaire Elon Musk fire anyone he wants and get access to your most private information. We need a Supreme Court justice who will keep them in check before they go too far. That's Judge Susan Crawford.
I'm Judge Susan Crawford. As a former prosecutor and now as a judge, I believe in protecting you, your family, and your right to privacy, and that women have the right to make their own decisions about their health care. Because to me, that's just common sense.
Donald Trump and Elon Musk are both backing Brad Schimmel. He'll do whatever they want. That's why we need Judge Susan Crawford. The common sense judge will keep them in check. Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Paid for by Susan Crawford for Wisconsin. Crawford for WI.com.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Toast and marmalade for tea, sailing ships upon the sea.
And good morning, everybody. It is now 21 past the hour of 6 o'clock on this Thursday, February 27th, 2025, along with Greg Bach down at Radio City Park in Racine. I'm Todd Alball here at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. We are sitting in for Up North News Radio and a vacationing Pat Kreitlow. How much does he get? See, I heard there's these deals out there where you get unlimited vacation. I don't have one of those deals, but I heard those deals exist. Have you heard that?
I've heard. I feel like if you have that deal, you own the company. But
no, I've heard that deal exists outside that. But I don't have one of those.
I used to work for a place that would really had a really good head on their shoulders when it came to vacation time. They said you get this many. First of all, they started you out with 3 weeks, which I thought awesome. And then they said, if you need to take a half day because you got to go to the doctors, you have to do errands, pick up the kids, don't take a day off. Just tell us when you're not going to be in, and then you can make it up in that pay period. That way you don't have to take your vacation time.
Well,
I'm like, that's amazing, because most Americans nowadays, they don't take their vacations to vacate. They take it to run errands, pick up the kids, go to the doctors, and do those kinds of things. And we have hundreds of millions of hours of vacation time lost every year because we can't. Americans are the worst at vacation.
They are, and I'm guilty of that. I have not taken mine in recent years like I should, and that's my goal. But no, I'm just joking around. Pat's actually on he's working very, very hard.
Yeah.
He's doing a documentary on Bob Uecker and the Milwaukee Brewers, and he is testing out popcorn down in Arizona, and he'll be back tomorrow with the results of all that work.
He said he's going to try out some peanuts and Cracker Jacks, and what does it say? He doesn't care if he ever gets back, so we'll see.
All right, take him out to the ball game. 23 past the hour of 6 o'clock. Kreitlow will be back tomorrow. We appreciate him allowing us to sit in here for him, keep the seat warm for him until tomorrow. Speaking of warmth, temperatures holding steady this morning. Now up to almost 30. Well, it's 39 degrees at Stout. By the way, my youngest niece announced she's going to Stout next year. So there you go. 39 at Menominee and Stout. 37 in Eau Claire this morning. 37 in Superior, Wisconsin. 36 in Green Bay. 34 Richland Center. 36 here in Madison. And 37 in Greg Bach's seat, or at least around him outside. There you go, in Racine, Kenosha, and Milwaukee this morning, all 37 degrees. Oh, I also forgot to mention Luke Mathers is going to be in at 10 till 8 this morning to close out the show. So what better way to close out the show? And I believe he's going to have a four-legged creature with him as well.
Oh, I heard, but I heard he's got enough creatures for eight legs.
Really?
The sweet poppers. All right. All the poppers.
All right, yeah, yeah. That'll be fantastic. So there you go. All right, now let's take a couple of headlines for you on this Thursday morning, the 27th of February at 6:24 right now across the state of Wisconsin. Federal spending and foreign policy were key themes at the first cabinet meeting of President Donald Trump's second term. During the wide-ranging question and answer session yesterday, Trump repeated numerous false claims that spanned a wide variety of topics, including aid to Ukraine, the history of the EU, inflation, mail-in voting, and drug overdose deaths. Presidential advisor and tech billionaire Elon Musk, who was neither elected nor confirmed by the Senate, took a prominent role in the meeting and spoke more than anyone else besides the president. Musk also signaled his intent to slash $1 trillion from the federal budget and vowed to be, quote unquote, more aggressive as the head of the, and I'm adding this, made up Department of Government Efficiency. Well, it is. I mean, you know, nobody confirmed that. So, and also did not spend a lot of time on the fact that Republicans voted to cut Medicaid the night before in the House of Representatives. Turning to foreign aid, Chief Justice John Roberts yesterday, actually last night, paused a court-imposed midnight deadline that would have required the Trump administration to release around $2 billion in frozen foreign aid, a goal the government has claimed it cannot meet. The emergency appeal marks the first time President Trump's efforts to drastically remake the federal government, including through deep cuts across government agencies, have reached the nation's highest court. The case appears likely to put the justices on a collision course with Trump's sweeping efforts to consolidate power with the executive branch. Health officials in Texas say the first death from a growing measles outbreak in the western part of the state was an unvaccinated school-aged child. It's the first measles death in the U.S. in at least 10 years. More than 120 confirmed measles cases have been linked to the outbreak in Lubbock, Texas, according to the Texas Department of Health Services. Most of the cases are in children between the ages of 5 to 17. Measles is an airborne illness that can cause rash, fever, red eyes, and cough. In severe cases, it can lead to blindness, pneumonia, and even death. The best way to stay protected against measles, guess what, Greg? Get vaccinated.
Oh, I was going to say, like, you know, drink some weird dirt tea or something.
Chloroxylin or whatever the hell it is.
Hydrochloroquine.
Yeah, that's it. What else can we tell you here this morning? In the Middle East, Israel will not withdraw its forces from the Gaza-Egypt border as would be required under a potential second phase of a ceasefire with Hamas, according to an Israeli source. Quote, we will not allow Hamas murderers to roam again with trucks and rifles on our borders, and we will not let them strengthen themselves again through smuggling, the source told CNN, which, of course, is left out of the story, is that Donald Trump on his Truth Social yesterday, and this is real, put out a, well, what, 60-second post of video, an AI-generated video, in which he refers to Gaza as Trump Gaza, yeah, with gold statues of himself.
Gaza Largo, they called it.
Yeah, great, ugh, fantastic.
So disgusting.
This is sad news this morning. I just saw this right before we came on the air. I'm a huge fan of Gene Hackman. Actor Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy, were found dead in their home in New Mexico this morning, or pardon me, last night in Santa Fe County, the sheriff's office told CNN. Gene Hackman, 95 years old. Their cause of death has not been confirmed. Hackman was best known for his performance in the films The French Connection, Hoosiers, Unforgiven, and The Firm. I mean, he's 95, but just, I don't know, Greg, it's sad to me.
Him, his wife, and the dog, my guess is there was a gas leak of some sort. There had to have been. It's too tragic, too much at the same time. There has to be an explanation right now. So
yeah, I would certainly assume so. But Wow. What an actor, though.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
What a legend. Lots of great things. Great things ahead here. We'll come on back, talk a little more news of the day, update you on more weather and sports. And we have Brittany Merlot straight ahead as well. And today in music history, not going to want to miss it at Civic Media This Morning on Civic Media's Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Members of the Wisconsin corn and soybean growers, as well as those from the biofuels industry at the state capitol yesterday. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. So what were they looking for? Well, Sarah Stelter, immediate past president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association, said they had a list of things they wanted to talk about with elected officials.
Yes, it was. It was encouraging incentive programs for both biodiesel as well as ethanol. So both corn and soybean farmers are represented with along with the biofuels folks. The other thing that we talked about quite extensively with our legislators was the AREP program, which is the Ag Road Improvement Project program. Right now, the governor has signaled or has cut the program down to $50 million, and we are asking that it go back to $150 million where it was originally proposed.
Sarah Stelter, immediate past president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association, among about 35 farmers from across the state that were at the state capitol talking with over a dozen lawmakers. She said she felt like lawmakers were lukewarm to some of the items that they brought up, but she said for many of these legislators, they're not only serving for the first time, they may be serving new geographic areas after the legislative maps have been adjusted. Markets in overnight electronic trade as we get started for a Thursday morning. Right now, it's a mixed bag. Numbers are next.
$1 billion. That's how much equipment is stolen from U.S. construction sites every year. These thieves are stalling projects, hurting Wisconsin's family-owned businesses, and driving up costs for everyone. Judge Brad Schimmel takes theft seriously. He holds criminals accountable and protects the people who are just trying to do their jobs. Call Judge Schimmel and thank him for protecting us. Paid for by the Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese gained a quarter of a cent to 179.5. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny at 187. Double A butter down a penny at 233.5 per pound. December corn's unchanged this morning. November beans are up 3.5 at 1049. July wheat a penny lower, 592 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on the markets for a Thursday. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and breezy this morning. We'll have some clearing and the wind will die down this afternoon. Our high today, low 40s. Tonight, down to 30. Tomorrow, a little light rain or snow shower possible, but the big deal will be the wind. Cloudy, windy, falling temperatures will drop into the mid-30s by late afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trey Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so well put.
And that matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look at a very nuanced topic, Joann Fabrics closing. Does it affect you? Also, what's worse? Food Edition. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome back, not to school, well, maybe a little bit to school, but back to Civic Media This Morning. I'm Todd Albaugh here in Madison, the headquarters of Civic Media, along with Greg Bach in Racine and Kenosha at Radio City Rocket Park. How's the dancing down there this morning? Oh, do you have to grease your legs before you go on the air down there?
Well, I mean, whether I'm on the air or not, it's usually, let me just say this, Todd, they're slick and they're ready.
Fantastic. Stop on down and get a Kringle and feel Greg Bach's smooth legs. I've never seen this morning. Thank goodness Pat Kreitel will be back tomorrow. He will take back over control of his show and never let me back on the air again for him. He is back along with Up North News tomorrow here on this very time slot. It is right now 6:35. Here in Wisconsin on a on-time Thursday morning. For the most part, check your local listings, but it appears there are no major road delays or school closings across the state of Wisconsin. Looking for temperatures today in the high 40s, perhaps a low 50 here or there. Brittany Merlot will be in just after the top of the hour with your complete weather forecast detail, but overall, a nice late winter day. Greg, spring is right around the corner. I mean, you're like 3 weeks away officially from spring.
I know. I cannot wait. I love springtime. It's hitting us. Let's see here. We got. Oh my god! I got to the bank today because it's February. So the month is short. Todd, there's so much going on.
You
got 21 days until spring. If you want to count today, 22 days and a week from Sunday. A week from Sunday, we're springing forward those clocks. I don't care about your opinion. It's happening regardless. So spring those clocks forward and keep your opinions to yourself.
I listened to you and Jane talk about it. And all I'm going to tell you is when we turn the clocks back in the fall, it's the Monday after is my favorite day of the year.
Really?
And when we spring forward in the spring, the Monday is my least favorite day because my body, it takes a while for my body to think, but I'm a big light person. So,
Okay. But that's surprising that when we spring, when we spring forward, it's your least favorite day?
Yeah, because I lose an hour of sleep.
But you get more light. You said you're a light person.
Right. But I still lose an hour of sleep. And so I don't get it back until whatever it is now, late November, I think.
Go to bed an hour early.
It's my internal clock, Greg.
Oh, okay. You're ready to go back to school.
Right. All right. Thank you for keeping me on track. Speaking of school, here's a little something that came out last week, and it went fairly unnoticed. But I think, again, as we look at what's happening in Washington, D.C., and we think, well, how is it going to affect, how are these things actually going to affect us here in Wisconsin? I think it's just good to pause and reflect and talk about it. So here, some great reporting from our great student journalist. I shouldn't even say student journalists. They're just journalists at the Badger Herald here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Headline, U.S. Department of Education cuts funding for UW teacher training partnerships with Milwaukee Public Schools. Subheadline, Trump administration cancels over $600 million in teacher quality partnership grants at universities across the country, including, guess where, UW. In the story, you can find this at thebadgerherald.com. Says the University of Wisconsin special education professors Kimber Wilkerson and Beverly Terzik founded the UW-Madison Teacher Residency Program in 2023 with support from a teacher Quality Partnership Grant, or TQP grant, a program developed by the U.S. Department of Education to fund teacher education and teaching residency programs in high-need school districts across the country. So let me put this down a little bit where the chickens could get at it. This is a great program because we are already short of educators in this state and in this country, and we're even shorter, a lack of special education teachers for our special needs kids. And a reminder that in our public schools, they do not get to pick and choose which students they take. They have to, by law, as it should be, I might add, they have to take all students. That is not the case with private schools. So here's a program that said, hey, let's have a grant to train teachers for our special needs kids in particular, and in particular in areas that are really, really short of teachers and that are struggling, such as Milwaukee Public Schools. So these Teacher Quality Partnership Grants, it was planned as a three-year program, three of the cohorts and a total of 36 students serving 14-month terms, taking UW courses online and in person and teaching special education full-time under the mentorship of a veteran teacher at a Milwaukee public school. So see, it gets even better. So not only have you got 36 people in this program over 14 months, they are going to be paired with a veteran teacher in the Milwaukee public schools. And we hear all the time about, you know, all Milwaukee public schools are failing. They're terrible. They get beat up pretty bad. We were there with Pat Kreitlow and Up North News Radio a little over a year ago. We did both of our shows, a special broadcast from Milwaukee South High School, public school down there. Turned out we found a lot of success and we found a lot of great things going on. As it turns out, most, if not all school districts, you know, everybody has some problems. Milwaukee's has certainly been more acute over the years. They had to get rid of their superintendent because there was things going on there that shouldn't have been. They've had financial problems like that. I'm all for doing audits and finding out what's going wrong and if people are guilty of crimes or malfeasance, get rid of them. But you can't just lump everybody in into the same bag here. And there's a lot of teachers, a lot of educators, a lot of administrators, and in particular students and parents who are doing great things in Milwaukee Public Schools. And here's this program that's helping out special needs kids in Milwaukee Public Schools. Participants, back to this Badger Herald story, participants would graduate with a master's degree in special education and an agreement to continue working with MPS for the next 3 years. The first cohort was set to wrap up in this summer of 2025. I'm going to skip down here because I'm going to paraphrase. They basically got a letter, this program, on February 12th, so this month, from the Federal Education Department announcing its termination of the grant that same day. So here we go, another example of if you're going to, I'll give them the word reform, that's not exactly what I would call it, but reform, cut, slash, government. There are ways to do that. Whether you or I or anyone else agrees with those cuts, there are humane, compassionate ways to do that. I've seen that firsthand in my time in government, both at the state and federal level. These folks in the Trump-Musk administration are doing anything but cutting this program the same day that they announce it. The letter was deemed, the letter deemed, rather, the program was not in alignment with the Federal Department of Education's current priorities, specifically due to its, and quoting the letter now, emphasis on diversity, equity, and inclusion, unquote. The ironic thing, or maybe just interesting, the partnership turns out is not, in fact, a DEI program. It is not focused on any particular identity group, according to Wilkerson, one of the administrators. But it is a grant proposal articulated that the program's goal of recruiting from as diverse a group of applicants as possible, which could, keyword could, have been perceived as contradicting the new Trump's Education Department's current interpretation of discrimination, which includes the targeting of specific groups in hiring. So again, to put this down there a little bit, the program basically said, look, we want to get as many different kinds of folks as we can in this program. And we've seen this on our show, Noon to Two. We've had on our friend and now departed here a couple months ago, passed away, our dear friend and former Senate Majority Leader, Democrat from Janesville, Tim Cullen, who, after he left the state Senate, well, actually part of while he was still in it, he created a foundation. He did very well in the health sector after he left government before he came back for one more stint. He and his wife were very blessed, and he took that wealth and he created it. He got other people to put into it. He created scholarship programs that gave full rides to about a dozen kids in Rock County, which is just below Madison along the state Illinois border there, where you have Janesville and Beloit. Those are the two biggest cities, Evansville. And so Senator Cullen's scholarship took and still takes, it lives on into perpetuity. It takes about 12 students and says, if you pledge to come back and teach here, it's either 3 or 5 years after, I think 5 years after you graduate, if you'll come back to Rock County, we'll pay a full ride. And many minority kids are taking advantage of that. And if you talk to the Beloit and Janesville public schools, it has been a huge success. Because guess what? When kids have educators and counselors and coaches who look like them, who have gone through their experience, it's more relatable. And they listen. And education actually rises, increases. Funny how that works, isn't it? So this program at Milwaukee Public Schools, it wasn't a quote-unquote DEI program, to quote Jerry Seinfeld. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's not a DEI program. It just said, hey, we want to get as many different kinds of folks as we can into this program so our special needs kids can relate. And the Trump administration took that and deemed it a DEI program and canceled it without warning. Back to the Badger Herald story. Terminations like these threaten to make people feel like the field of special education has the potential to be undermined, Wilkerson said. She is telling students that regardless of whatever changes there are in the Department of Education federally, there will always be students with disabilities who need additional support and specialized instruction. Wilkerson stressed that the significance of public pushback to these cuts, as she said, this has historically pressured federal officials to change their stance on some issues. Greg, we've seen this already, town halls for Congressman Scott Fitzgerald, mm-hmm. Congressman Glenn Grothman, where public officials have come out. And here's, or not public, the public, just the public has come out, voters. This is another story, and kudos to the Badger Herald for writing the story and focusing on it, because I didn't hear about it a lot of other places. But it's another example when we see this stuff or hear this stuff on national news and you see Elon Musk running around with a faux chainsaw. Those actions, yeah, it's actually impacting us right here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And luckily, the people are coming out to tell their elected representatives they're not happy about it either.
And, yeah, they really aren't.
But what's unfortunate is that I don't think these elected officials are going to go back out there and take any more of that. They're probably going to stay home, do a selected listening session. It's just not going to be that they're not going to listen. They're not going to sit there and be booed by their constituents, which sometimes they need to be so they know what's going on.
Yeah, the only person that I could see continuing to do it in the Wisconsin delegation, because I know a lot of these people from my time, listen to this network, I used to be a Republican, left the party in 2011, but I sat in a lot of meetings through during Act 10 when Glenn Grothman was a state senator. He's wired different, but yeah, he actually enjoys it.